Andre Segovia Show.
And welcome to the program, everyone. I am Andre Segovia, and this is the first episode in quite a while that I've recorded while I am driving. And I figured, why not take advantage of my most inefficient times and just start a recording? So that's what inspired this, because I did have some backed up podcasts on the schedule that I haven't been able to get to. And one of them was with respects to motivation. Mostly because, well, it's been a lot of downer news in the month of August. For some people, they think the sky is falling. Other ones, the floor is giving away underneath them. And others are just left with more uncertainty. So if they had confidence, the confidence is lost because they don't know what's going on. They're not affected by anything in the economy, but because it's like non-stop battering and a barrage of negative news, they think it's coming to affect them. So I'm not here to talk about that. I have a separate podcast in which I address the whole, are we in a recession? Is a recession coming? What does it really mean? And why does the media talk about it ad nauseum? And that's for the Off the Record series. And if you're curious about how to get on the Off the Record invite list, because right now it's by invite only for the members of the show, that is at the Facebook page of the show. So you can go to my website and you'll be able to find links to my Facebook page. My website is www.theandressegovia.com. The Facebook is at theandressegovia, but just in case it's easier for you to find a direct link, there it is, just so you don't run into the musician's webpage or Facebook page. Yes, there's a musician that I share names with, but I was not named because of him. I was named after my grandfather in El Salvador. Even though I have Spanish roots, I have not been able to confidently claim that Andres Segovia, the greatest guitarist ever, is directly related to me. Well, anyway, subject for another time. Let's talk about motivation. But before we can talk about motivation, I want to talk about how we can relate to one another. Because we all have struggles. We all have our own burdens to bear. Whether you're the breadwinner of the home, whether you're the only one and there's no support around you and you gotta fight on in some way, somehow, or like others, you feel the whole world is against you and that everything's just going wrong all around you. How do you stay motivated and fight on? You know, some of the most triumphant moments in movies that we enjoy so much is when the hero overcomes the whatever issue they're confronted with. Like, let's take the most recent example of the Avengers Endgame. And if you haven't seen it yet, dude, you're like probably one of the five people that haven't, but whatever. So in Avengers Endgame, when all hope seems lost and Captain America just has the most awesome moment in probably all the MCU against Thanos with the wielding Ymir, Thor's hammer, that alone was worth the price of admission. And you saw it on the IMAX, all the better. But that's the moment that's just stirred the soul. But that wasn't, though, the heroic moment. Because after that, even though it looked super awesome that the Avengers were coming back from almost being down for the count, but Thanos comes back and knocks him out. And it looks like all hope is definitely lost because more villains, more armies of bad guys arrive. And it's like, dude, you couldn't handle the bits that were there. And now here comes a large amount of reinforcements. Well, when those portals start opening, man, you'd have to be completely soulless or just lack emotional impulses to get the stir in your soul. That emotional pull that is always invested. And that's always what you aim for when telling stories. I know, because I am a storyteller. So in those cases, that's exactly what I mean. Those are the moments. Like, what is it in your life that you're looking for or that can help motivate you to have that triumphant moment for you, for yourself? My case has been, well, there's a lot of different things, but mostly let's stick to the physical. I don't want to delve with the whole emotional and spiritual stuff. Because I could, but that, I don't want to get into that one. The one that I believe most of you can relate with is what really weighs in when it comes to the mental and the physical battle. Because when you're mentally worn down, it affects your body. That's mind over matter. And that's exactly what happens. And when you're basically the one responsible for a ton of tasks, and you have basically the lives of people hanging on the balance by the decisions that you make or actions that you make or don't make, no, that's a lot of weight on your shoulders, especially if you didn't ask for any of that responsibility. But on top of that, not being able to physically take care of yourself because of the burden of responsibility, working 18-hour workdays, 6 days a week, and you're lucky to rest on Sundays if at all possible. Yeah, that was my life. It was crazy. And unfortunately, my health took a toll. It was in January 2004. I can remember distinctly that I woke up from my bed screaming because I felt someone was stabbing me in my lower back. It was the first time I felt the pinch of my sciatica nerve on my lower back. Unfortunately, that wouldn't be the end of it. I had posture issues. I had weight issues, yes, but they were exacerbated by the fact that I was either sitting in front of my computer or sitting in traffic. So I couldn't sit for too long. I couldn't stand for too long. And I couldn't lie down or face up in any way possible. So it was hurting so much. And the reason I was able to work so long hours when I was at work was because I couldn't sleep. I could have slept 8 hours and wake up more tired then than I would before going to bed. And that was all because I couldn't sleep with the back pain. I switched mattresses. I got a sleep number, not a plug-in, but I did get a sleep number. I ended up investing in pillows, and oh my goodness, it helped alleviate the pain, but it didn't take it away. And then the health effects started falling in with the lack of rest and the immune system, my immune system taking its toll, that I was not able to recover because I didn't understand the true importance of sleeping. It wasn't just resting, it was recovery. And the fact that I couldn't get recovery was just getting crazier and crazier. So then I was getting sick very often, and I was bedridden a lot of times. And all this in combination with the fact that I did work full-time while I was studying full-time at university, because I felt the pressure to get it done. I was the one paying for my classes, so I felt the pain every time my grades went down. That was on me. I didn't get any financial aid. I couldn't. They say I couldn't qualify. Something that said I was overqualified because my parents were supposedly well-off, according to them. Like, stupid rules. But whatever. The point was that I relied on myself to get it done. And, well, long story short, I got it done. But that was the studies part. My physical toll kept getting worse and worse and worse. Doctors told me, look, it's getting really bad for you, and you're on the highway to back surgery. And if you keep this up, you're probably a good 20 years away. That was when I was 20. So that was by 40, and I'm 35. So I was almost there. And I got married, became a father, and of course that also changed my schedule considerable because, well, the supposed me time was consumed by they time. And look, that's also me time, but the point is that the time that, oh, this is the time I'm going to eat better and start exercising, yeah, right, that never happened. So it was getting really bad, and with the fact that kids want to be held and carried whenever they're tired, and I was already carrying my entirety of my weight, and it was really, really bad. And it affected my mood. It was affecting my marriage because back pain, believe me, back pain affects your everything. And my mood, like, I was known as the Incredible Hulk in high school, that I would blow up at anything. I was considerably worse because of my back pain. And that was, it was just really tough to try to live day to day like that. And I was realizing very quickly that I needed to have an important change in my life, something seismic that needed to happen in order to really fix myself, mostly for my family. And it turns out that I found out that my wife and I were expecting our third child. We had two, and I had always told myself that if I was not able to play with my kids, that's when I knew I reached the tipping point. It's almost the point of no return. I needed to do something about my weight. And the day finally came after a long day at work. I picked up my son because my wife took our daughter with her to a bridal party or whatever it was. And it was just my son and I. After I picked him up from his grandma's house, I couldn't play with him afterwards. And he was 1 year old at the time, and he was desperately trying to communicate in his own way that he wanted to play with me with some of his toy cars. And I was just laying there writhing in pain. I couldn't look up, I couldn't face down. It just hurt so bad. And then I let my son down. This was supposed to be our time, you know, and I couldn't do that with him. That's why I have to do something about this. And then I found out that we're spending our third. So then I knew that whatever I needed to get done needed to happen as soon as possible before my schedule changed again because of a newborn in the house. So a friend of mine, and some of you have heard this story already, you haven't heard my interview with Healthy Habits with Priscilla, I recommend you listen to that episode because she's the one that was the coach that reached out to me a couple of times, but this time I reached out to her. I need to get this done, get me on the program, I need to lose weight. But the thing is, it's not the first time I've ever done a weight loss program. Like, I've done diets, I've lost weight on my own. I lost weight for my high school graduation, I lost weight for my college graduation or university. And the thing is, I was never a big guy. I became big after I graduated from university and I let myself go after getting married. That tends to be the story, right? But the reason I let myself go wasn't so much because the wife cooks so much unhealthy food. My wife's a culinary artist and she had an emphasis on eating healthy and clean. She hated salty, she hated sugary, she hated oily. So it wasn't her food. And I only ate twice a day, folks. I would skip breakfast, just focus on lunch and dinner. The problem was I just wasn't eating right, and my body was retaining the whatever carbs I was consuming because it knew, hey, you're not feeding yourself, you're not fueling yourself. We're gonna store this for later. That's how you build fat. It doesn't matter if you're eating a lot. If you're eating wrong, even if you're eating clean, you're eating wrong. If you're not fueling yourself consistently, where your body can effectively and efficiently consume what you're putting in. So as I looked, I stared down the barrel of this time. And realizing my time was running out. And it was just a few months later that we're going to have a new baby in the house. And how little I was able to do with my limited movements, with my physicality, because I was so weighed down by my limitations of back pain and all that. I'm like, man, I can't exercise hard because I can't. I don't have enough time because of work. What's the one thing I could do? I'm like, well, I could do a diet again, but this time I needed to take it very seriously. And being someone of faith, I put that before God. I was like, God, this one's different. I wanna show my body that if I can control the sustenance of life for my body, I can get rid of the stuff that's in my life that I don't need, that's only wasteful and hurtful to my life, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my kids, relationship with God, you know? So that's how I approached it. But before I did that, I didn't think I had the motivation to do it until one big event happened. I am not the casual sports fan. I'm not even the super sports fan. I'm not one of those people that lives and breathes sports. I could quote stats to you whenever I get interested in it. But when it comes to sports themselves, I don't live or die by whether I watch the game or not. Even if it's my favorite team. So yes, I prefer to watch some really high tense games. Yes. But that means I have to make time for that I already have little of. You know? So when I tell you that a football game changed my life, American football game changed my life, I am not kidding. Some people are like, oh my gosh, that was the greatest thing, it changed my life. Okay, what did it do for you? Just gave you bragging rights? That is not a life-changing event. Okay, you saw a great game, good for you. That means nothing. It literally does. It means nothing. It hasn't heightened your life. It hasn't improved your quality of life. All it is was just give you some ecstasy, a rush of joy because you happen to see a good game. That means nothing. So I'm sorry, sports fans, that for those of you that live that way, I am not one of those. But I can tell you that it was a sporting game, not just any game, the event of the year, the Super Bowl, that changed the way I think and feel and how I approach the things in my life. And now I live my life that way. And I am talking about the greatest comeback in sports history. At least American sports history. But the annals in sports history are showing that this was the comeback. When the New England Patriots overcame a 28-3 deficit with 2 minutes 12 seconds left in the third quarter against what was seemingly an unstoppable offense, the Atlanta Falcons. And to see that for what it was amazing. Me, when watching the game, I saw the game and everybody was leaving the room and I was almost the only one left there. It's like, we're going to come back. Now, I never said we were going to win, but I'm like, dude, we're going to make this respectable. There's no way the Patriots are going to be buried. Like
Peyton Manning's Broncos were against the Seahawks and the Legion of Doom. There was absolutely no way. We're the freaking New England Patriots. We will come back and at least make them earn it. They're not going to walk all over us. Now, of course, some people try to soften it and say, well, yeah, the Falcons collapsed. Watch that game again and again and again. You can cite one or two moments, perhaps, that the Falcons had to capitalize. And you want to call that a collapse? Call it a collapse then. That's because you don't want to give the credit to the incredible performance that was needed to be done. Absolutely 100% perfect football. And I've always said this about the New England Patriots, even before that game. The Patriots do not have to play a perfect game to win a game. You, the opponent, have to play a perfect game against the Patriots to make sure you have a fighting chance to win. Because it's never over until it's over. So when we were coming back, and we were fighting tooth and nail for every single yard, everyone had a chance to shine in that game. And it was amazing to see. It was jaw-dropping, exhilarating, everything under the sun. That's exactly what it was. And when I saw that, it impacted me in ways I couldn't believe. It's like, how did this 39-year-old Brady outplay dudes that were half his age and looked like he was primed and ready to go a whole other game when he was getting hit, slammed, tackled throughout the entirety of the game? It's like, how did this guy do it? And me being someone that loves behind-the-scenes stuff, including media aesthetics, I had to see the behind the scenes from NFL films. I want to know what was going on the sidelines with the New England Patriots when they made the comeback. Nobody lost their cool. Nobody was blaming anybody else. No one was cursing anybody. The camera panned up. It showed 28-3. Third quarter. Almost no time left in the third quarter. Josh McDaniels talking to his guys. Do you believe we're going to win? Yeah, me too. Let's go out there one play at a time. Like, one play at a time. Dude, hurry it up. Hurry up. There's like no time left. They proved me wrong. When I saw that and Julian Edelman getting Tom up there to start rallying the troops, get it going, get it going. No excuses, no my best, laser focus, all that stuff. It was mind-boggling. It was incredible to see that kind of leadership against that kind of pressure with at least 100 million people watching. And laughing and hoping you lose, celebrating that you lost. The owner of the Atlanta Falcons was dancing on the sidelines in the third quarter. It's like, this is in the bag. It's like, yes, the whole world wanted to see you fail in the greatest stage on earth because you've already lost twice against the Giants and everybody laughed at you. Oh, look at you, how you guys lost. Yeah, your team didn't win though. So with over 100 million people watching, and I would dare say 70% of those hoping you fail in the most spectacular way possible. And they thought you already did. And laughing at you all the way. And under that pressure, with 17 gameplay minutes to come back to try to tie the game and force the first ever and only overtime as of this recording, to ultimately win it with that kind of leadership, with the level-headedness. We had rookies in that game. They never seen anything like that. And I'm sure everyone's life after that was changed. It's like, what did we just witness? It was stunning. And when I saw that, I'm like, this guy did what now? What are you doing in your life to stay that healthy? And secondly, how did you get that mental toughness to lead a team like that? The coaches, the leaders in the team, the players. I'm like, this, with my backache, with my limitations in mobility, with my so-called limitations in time because work consumed me all the time, with all the supposed baggage that I carry, having to care for a wife, two kids, and an incoming third, and two jobs at the time. I said, this is my third quarter comeback. I will not let this overcome me. And in 3.5 months, I dropped 80 pounds. And since then, my life has been nothing but fitness, focused, eating healthy and clean. My back pain's gone. I actually rest now when I sleep. And I have three kids, and I spend time with them too. And I said I had two jobs. I do three. I'm a real estate broker, associate at Marco Real Estate. I manage properties, at least 40 units. And I run a construction company. I get that all done. I still exercise. I still spend time with my family. And I write books. And of course, I do my show. It's not impossible. You just need that spark of motivation. And I hope that my example also motivates you. I live my life now, 28 to 3, all the time. I'm not just some sports junkie that just like says it because they have bragging rights. Oh, look at our comeback. Look, I know the Boston sports fan can be jerks, okay? It's like they don't know a year without some kind of duck boat celebration. It's Fitzy, I'm talking to you. But I just got to tell you, it is true though. It is true that to sustain that kind of success requires a lot of sacrifice. And yes, I sacrifice too. I have to sacrifice a lot of what I want to be able to do what I need to do. And I'm happy for it. And I can sleep at night for it. And you know what the best part of all? I get to bless others with what I do. That is an awesome satisfaction to have when I go to sleep at night. So even though there's always what I feel like the world's against me, it's 28 to 3. And I don't care who's laughing. So that I will make sure they eat their words when I succeed. And that does it for this episode of the Andrew Segovia Show. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you might be following me. To stay in the know, YouTube, directories for podcasts. Most of all, check out my website, www.theandresegovia.com. You can check out my books, my upcoming books that are in the works as well. They'll all be posted on my website. And you'll learn more availability about the off-the-record series, where I open up considerably more about what my thoughts and motivations are and behind the scenes that I do in the show. And I just can't wait to share that with you, members only. All right, that does it for this one. I'll see you guys in the next episode.